website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Our issues are not based on denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, or political jargon. We simply base our decision, our questions, comments, dialogue, and discussions, the issues that we face each day, on the Word of God. God's Word is solid, without error, without admixture. Ladies and gentlemen, God's Word doesn't have to be updated, modified, changed, or revised at any point in time, past, present, or future. It stands written. And by the way, as you see in the scripture, as it is written, that literally transliterated could be, it stands written as it's written, without modification, without change, without admixture. May I say to you, it's time we get back to the Word of God as the source book for all truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a key issue today. We'll have some subordinate issues, but the key issue we're talking about is, will Iran go to war against America? I said that calmly, de factly, carefully. Do you realize if Iran enters into a conflict with America, as the old cliche goes, that's Katie barred the door. As we look at it and have been talking about off and on since the Ukrainian war 4 years ago, and I made the statement then and I've made it perhaps 100 times on this broadcast, we're witnessing the chessmen being put on the chessboard. We're witnessing the stage being set. We're witnessing the players being brought together. And by the way, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's God's war. God is the one. I laugh at that simply because it is a thrilling, intriguing, challenging, sobering thought when we realize that what we're witnessing, what we're seeing today in the global conflicts on every hand, when we see what is happening in Ukraine with Russia, when we see what is happening with Syria, with those Middle Eastern nations, and what is taking place in particular with Iran, what's taking place in Gaza, and which is, by the way, Israel, pardoned off, partitioned off, divided off in 2006, and calling it Gaza as being a separate entity. Ladies and gentlemen, we look at all of these nations, I'm reminded of the fact that God is the one that's in control. It is not man. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the scripture says in wickedness in high places, found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is today, the major, major emphasis today, will Iran be brazen enough, bold enough, dumb enough to trigger a war with America? That is the final straw. That is, if we understand the global players, ladies and gentlemen, let me lay them out for us very briefly before we go into depth in our monologue and then open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. According to Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia will lead a five-nation coalition against Israel. according to Revelation chapter 16, they will cross the Euphrates River when it is dried. They will go into a battle that they are thinking, in my opinion, Scripture does not say this, but I articulate it very clearly. There will be a mindset that we're going to have some kind of global conference in Israel about the condition of the nations. But it will literally be Russia leading a five-member coalition to come against the nation of Israel to try to destroy it. According to the Bible, we have Russia, we have Iran, which is part of old Persia, we have Turkey, Germany, Libya, ladies and gentlemen, that five of those nations, coalition, coming together against Israel. It will proliferate into a global battle, and I'm calling it World War III. And ladies and gentlemen, when I think about that, I'm looking at a book in my hand, The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, The Study of Ezekiel 38 and 39, a book that I had the privilege of publishing back in 2013. Let me read you what I have on the back of this book. This book examines Ezekiel 38 and 39 with the searchlight of the truth that exposes the evil plan of Islam. God's word warns us to be watchful, alert, and witnessing until Jesus comes. Ladies and gentlemen, this book is not but 67 pages. A person can read it in about an hour, hour and a half time. It is worth every, I believe, every word on every page to see what is happening. It unfurls and draws the curtains back on what is taking place today. And I bring this out, ladies and gentlemen, because for each caller today, if you do not already have this book, we will send this book to you free of charge. Love to have you have it in your hand so that you can tell others then to go to the website, first FCBC at FCBC at atjax.com. Scroll down to the bookstore and order the book before all of you today that call in and to have dialogue and discussion about the issue of the day. We'd love to send this book to you. So when you call in, you want to have the book, be sure and remind Roger that you want to have the book, and he'll take down your information so that we can send this book to you. I believe it's worth reading. I believe it's worthwhile. In view of where we are today and have been for the past 12 to 15 years, edging into it, and I believe we're watching the final straw being broken, the final piece of the puzzle being put in place, the final chessmen being put on the board, and opening the battle of that we see in Ezekiel 38 and 39, the battle that many would call World War III. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, as we face the issues, we do so from the truth book. God's word is truth. It was the secularist of yesteryear, George Orwell, that said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And we see that precisely of what is taking place today. If you don't believe that, just watch what the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats say on the left, and you'll understand what truth is not based on what they're saying. In fact, I've said many times, if you want to know what's truth, look at and think about the opposite of what the Marxist media will tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to go back to the truth book. I drop down to the very fact that the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus said this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day, is that we seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, tell it. And by the way, where do you find truth? Thy word is truth. So, the scripture, according to John 17:17, thy word is truth. And Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. So if we want to know truth, if we're seeking truth, want to listen to the truth and learn the truth, go to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the truth book. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner, brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. You say, how do I find it? Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I must do this. Before we get into the essence of Iran and its planned war against America, they've already said, and I've got several articles on it, where they made the declaration that they're going to war against America. They're already striking the nation of Israel. They are the little Satan. We're the big Satan, according to the Islamic jihadists that are in charge today. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, before we jump into that, did you watch any of the arguments with the Supreme Court in relationship to trying to decide what is a male and what is a female? That's the bottom line. Ladies and gentlemen, two cases have been merged before the Supreme Court, both dealing with the fact that there's a challenge in relationship to having males enter into sports activities and competition with females. That's the bottom line. And in that those arguments, I find it fascinating, ladies and gentlemen, what takes place and what has taken place. Did you know the Supreme Court just heard that oral argument, I believe it was the past couple of days, for a decision whether or not gender-disturbed, sexual deviants, and transsexuals could be allowed to participate in female sports, in swimming and basketball and other female sports, ladies and gentlemen? It is a plan to break down and destroy the morals, ethics, and values in America. That's been taking place full steam ahead, full-throated mindset under the Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, Autopen Joe administration. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, very frankly, if you wanted me to simply split the hairs, I believe much of this, he didn't even have any idea was taking place. I believe it was the auto pen behind the scenes that was doing it for much of what was happening. But it was the push to destroy female identity, female sports, and to give protection for women in bathrooms, locker rooms, shower rooms, etc., etc. That's been broken down to the point where that is two cases worked its way to the Supreme Court, and they're listening. They did the oral arguments on that. We watched as the Biden administration pushed the immoral agenda. Multitudes of female contestants, ladies and gentlemen, were really the winners, but the male pretender won the race, or won the game, or won the contest, or the competition. The amusing part of the oral arguments, ladies and gentlemen, from my perspective, the amusing part, if you want to call it that, before the court presented by the advocate for the males in female sports, a female attorney with the ACLU presented the case and was asked the question, very simple question, what is a woman? Did you hear that statement? In the oral arguments before the Supreme Court, the justices, and I believe we find that with the oral arguments, I pretty much know the end result, that they'll render the decision in June. But what is a woman? Please tell the court the difference between a male and a female. And I just thought, oops. I don't believe that ACLU attorney expected that. She could not answer the question. Just as the female justice, Kahaja Jackson, had said in her examination before she was confirmed as Supreme Court Justice, and she was asked the question, what is woman? She says, I'm not a biologist, and I cannot identify a woman. Of course, Judge Alito, in my opinion, made the case with the court's ruling and that will come up in June. Here's some of the statements. Justice Samuel Alito asked an obvious question. What does it mean to be a boy or a girl, or a man or a woman? The leftist lawyer has a telling answer, this headline says. I'm going to read you two brief paragraphs. U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday heard oral arguments in a pair of cases challenging state laws that provide for boys to be in boy sports and girls to be in girl sports only. The fight is over claims that by transgender community advocates that males who pretend to be females must be allowed in girl sports. the ideology in recent years has put adolescent boys in the shower rooms and the locker rooms and the bathrooms with adolescent girls, and adult males in community centers, showers, and young girls, and much, much worse. Alito pinpointed the failing of the entirety of the agenda by asking a lawyer advocate for the deviant lifestyle choices, how are boys and girls, men and women, defined? The lawyer was unable to answer. She did obfuscate the comments by not being a biologist, not having a definition for that or much more. An analyst for the lawyers representing the plaintiffs pointed out that the ACLU lawyer would not offer an answer. Most people, he confirmed, would assign no credibility to anyone who cannot answer the judge's questions. In fact, transgender promoters insist that it's all changeable. A five-year-old boy can be a boy, but that boy, same boy, can be a girl by 10 years of age, or vice versa. Attorney General Pam Bondi said the government, in this case, we're fighting to protect girls and women in the locker rooms and shower rooms, et cetera, et cetera. I find it fascinating. I find it sad when a case has gone to the Supreme Court on the flimsy premise that a boy can be a girl can be a boy at a whim's wish and change, regardless of the biological sex. Just a few weeks back, I believe it was probably a couple of months back, in fact, where there was a major article, and I presented part of it on the radio broadcast, where they're saying that, well, you know, God made a mistake in some cases where it's really a boy, God made it into a girl, but doctors can change the mistake that God made. Now, that's laughable from the standpoint of witnessing and realizing we've declined to the point and place in society where there's a claim now by the left that God made a mistake, but that man, through medical science, can change or repair God's mistake. One other thing, and then we will make our transition to the real issue today, is Iran at war, going to war with America. I'm looking at a massive article, and I'll not take your time with most of it. It says, take away from the Supreme Court arguments on girls' sports. Supreme Court seemed poised on January 13th to uphold Idaho and West Virginia's bans on boys' participation in girls' sports, setting up the potential game-changing decision for female athletes. Two federal appeals courts had ruled against the laws, indicating they illegally discriminated against athletes on the basis of sex and transgender status. Conservative justices, however, indicated they thought the bans could pass constitutional and legal muster. And then here's the key statement. The primary criticism appeals courts leveled at the bans was they discriminated against people on the basis of their sex. During our oral argument, multiple justices questioned, how do you define sex? What is that definition? What is that definition for equal protection purposes? Justice Samuel Alito asked. What does it mean to be a boy? What does it mean to be a girl? When Kathleen Harnett, an attorney challenging Idaho's law, said she didn't have a definition with no answer at all, Alito expressed major skepticism as to the case's viability or value at all. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we've devolved into in America. It's where even in a Supreme Court hearing, these foolish advocates for the transgenderism, for the allowing of males and females bathrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms, and sports arenas, where they can't even define a woman or a female. And another headline on that, I find it fascinating. Online, there's a brief article that had an audio with it where Ketanji Jackson finally determined what a woman is, the article reads. In her Senate confirmation hearing, Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Jackson was asked, what is a woman? In the context of that discussion on transgender rights, famously, President Biden's then nominee did not answer the question, explaining she was not a biologist. End of this one-page article. We are now looking at the definition of a girl, and we're saying only people who were girl assigned at birth qualify. Katanja Jackson said. Let me read that again. We're now looking at the definition of a girl, and we're saying only people who were girl assigned at birth qualify to be called a girl. Ladies and gentlemen, God didn't make a mistake. He didn't create a freak. He didn't create a girl in a boy's body or vice versa. God created male and female according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God, there's an attempt today to dethrone God. That's part of the Marxist agenda that most people do not recognize. The major 3 points of Marxism is simply to divide the nation ethnically and to destroy the nuclear family and ultimately to dethrone God. And we see our nation is on the fast track for that. Lest we understand it, recognize it, and do something about it, we're in trouble as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
How are you doing today, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing great. Pray that you are.
Doing well. Iran is in my lifetime, and I'm probably about your son Greg's age there. In my lifetime, Iran has transitioned. When I was in my late teens, early 20s, the Shah was in control of Iran, and it was a secular nation, and most Iranians viewed themselves as Persians, the ancestors of the Zoroastrianism and the Babylonians.
Yes.
The Ayatollah Khomeini came in from France, of course, during the Carter administration there, about a year and a half left on his term, and captured the U.S. embassy as they overthrew the Shah and took over and turned them into an Islamic theocracy, which led to the 444 days.
Yes.
Since that point, they have done everything that they can to promote terrorism against the State of Israel and the United States. They can declare a war against us all they want, but basically, their biggest problem right now is their own population. I can't remember. Their currency is called a rial, R-I-A-L.
Correct.
It is gone to 1.4 million of those to a U.S. dollar. If you know anything about history, look up the Weimar Republic, mm-hmm. where people were taking barrels, wheelbarrows of Deutschmarks just to buy a loaf of bread. So you have the same situation happening in Tehran and Iran right now, which in turn, if you look at the Weimar Republic, that led to a charismatic leader who eventually involved the entire nation in a genocide against anybody of the Jewish faith and against the world. So you're looking at a situation in Iran now that could be remarkably similar to the Weimar Republic of the 20s and early 30s.
Absolutely. Jim, touching on that, you know, the millions in the streets in Iran marching and demonstrating, wanting for the overthrow of the mullahs that are in charge. And the mullahs trying to appease the people a little less than 2 weeks ago now said, okay, we'll send you $7 a month. $7 a month. And that's basically where they are on a starvation budget, if you will, in Iran, where the people are being starved to death, while millions, multiplied millions, are being wasted on the mullahs and their hierarchical domination and control. And I said the other day, if any human being on the face of the media, on the face of the world, including the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, and the Marxist media, if you want to know what Islamic jihadism is about, if you want to know the passivity of them, if you want to know their kindness and their love for humanity, just look at what is happening at this moment in Iran with its own people. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, and I've read several articles, some say 2,000 or 3,000. One article says 12,500 have been executed, summarily slaughtered on the streets in Iran as I'm speaking. And President Trump has said help is on the way. So, Jim, my question from your perspective, what do you think he means, help is on the way?
I would hope that help is on its way is not the same thing, because this is not the first time people in Iran have risen up and protest. During the Obama administration, this very same thing occurred, and Obama turned his back.
It happened in 2009, it happened in 2018, and been, how would you say, shadows of that even since then. I think it was 2023 that it happened again, but not as massive as it is now. Go ahead with your thought.
Anyway, the administration refused to do anything. I would hope that covertly the United States, with assets probably that are already in place, that they would assist the people of Iran in any way they can. You know, $7 a month doesn't seem like a lot to us there, but if it's $1 equals 1.4 million, that's almost 11 million reals that they're receiving, but that's still not enough to even sustain an individual for that period of time with their current, you know, fiat currency issues there. They're either going to have to clamp down and completely suppress this thing brutally, or they're going to have to run, unless they can fix their problems. But, you know,
well,
once again,
I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Putin has already invited Khamenei to come to Russia in hiding to sequester himself for safety. Some articles in my research says that he has already done that, that he is no longer in Iran as we speak. And I'm looking at an article that says U.S. President Donald Trump has just imposed a 25% tariff on any country doing business with Iran, saying the measure took effect immediately. And this article was 13 hours ago. So, number one, as we understand what has happened in Venezuela, that was the key, in my opinion, that was the trigger for going forward with what I see as the coming together, the coalition of the five member nations that are controlled by Islam today, being led by Russia, that will bring about the World War III, or the coming global Islamic invasion, as I call it in my book published in 2013, dealing with Ezekiel 38 and 39. So I believe that we're witnessing some of the trigger points. And by the way, I go back to this, Jim, when I look at the scripture, and I've advocated this for many, many, many years, that every Christian must look at world events, local, state, national, international, through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? All that we're seeing happening now in Iran and the sister coalition of nations, all that we see taking place with the hand of Russia and Putin and the Ukrainian war, this is not happenstance. This is not something that just happened and we couldn't do anything about it. God is in control. God is still on the throne. And it is God, according to Ezekiel 38:39, that will bring this about. I'm looking at a portion of this major article. Israeli Security Forum Chairman Cherem predicts Iranian government will fall. This particular one, this chairman of the Israeli Defense and Security Forum, called IDSF, said the Iranian government is facing imminent collapse, predicting major regional changes and suggesting a large-scale U.S.-led military action would occur in the near future, end quote. So that's what I'm looking at. And I believe that's going to take place. If Trump says help is on the way, I believe he really means that. Just as he, for what was it, 2 months, told Maduro and Venezuela that we're coming, and finally pulled him out in just moments at night. I believe that Trump will do something like that, especially seeing we've got now something 12,000 or more. This article reads at least 12,000 people were killed two nights, January the 8th and 9th, during protest. Iran International Editorial Board concluded based on review of sources and medical data. So I believe that it's headed for a crescendo. I believe that crescendo will be where Trump will do something major to remove the leadership in Iran. And I believe then we'll see major, major, major coalition collating of these nations led by Russia. What say you in the last moments before our news break?
I could see it happening, but at the same time, I would hope that it would be a covert action and that the people of Iran would rid themselves of their leaders. The last thing we need is more of these mainstream media and whack jobs here in the United States creating more distraction.
Yes. Jim, thank you for calling in. Thank you for your words. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.